25 years of exploring new worlds, new ideas, and new people. Years of entertaining conversation, stimulating information. Join the Celebration 25 with
Bill Jenkins.
Welcome to a Saturday night. It's Open Mic. I'm Bill Jenkins. Delighted to have you along. And I want you to sit back and open your mind, because we're going to open it to new vistas of science. Things that you didn't know were going on all around you all the time. And we have a man who knows about that. Dr. Bob Beck is with us. So, open your mind, turn up the set, stay with Dr. Robert Beck. Delighted to have you back with us here on KABC. Are you in tune?
Well, we're just about organized here.
What's going on in the world of the sciences that most people don't know about that are quite stimulating and interesting and perhaps a little bit ominous?
Had a fascinating trip to Washington slightly less than a month ago and met with some of the people who are a little bit more up to speed on these things than I am. And let's hope
in Washington? That's really interesting.
We brought a few toys down here and can simulate the sounds of consciousness that a person would hear if he were using biofeedback equipment.
Wait a minute. The sounds of consciousness.
Right. An amplified brainwave.
Let's talk about that for just a second. The sounds of consciousness. Kind of get that in context. You know, people are always saying we want to elevate your consciousness. I've never wanted to elevate the consciousness, because the consciousness is where all the bad stuff is going on. I'd rather elevate the unconscious than where
right.
You actually are motivated. What is the sound of consciousness, and what is consciousness as you see it, Bob?
Dr. Kamiya, Joseph Kamiya, made an absolutely fascinating discovery in about 1965 when he was at the University of Chicago Sleep Lab. He found one of these serendipities, one of his first subjects, had sort of a feedback loop to his unconscious and could actually control his brainwaves, produce alpha.
Mm-hmm.
And by 1969, this new discovery, the voluntary control of what had been considered involuntary function, had become the darling of psychology, parapsychology,
et cetera, et cetera.
A lot of cults spun off. The Silver Mind Control group that happened to be hypnotizing people and telling them, go to your levels.
Uh-huh.
But a lot of very good work was done, basically at the Langley Porter Neuropsychiatric Institute in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And it started an entire rash of biofeedback experimentation. Dr. Barbara Brown was working out here at the Veterans Administration, Sepulveda, and excellent work was being done at the Menninger Foundation, Drs. Elise and Elmer Green. And it emerged that a particular brainwave state, theta, happened to correlate with creativity, accessing cosmic consciousness, and the alpha state, which was considered to be 8 to 12 hertz, we'll hear some of this a little later, was identified as a meditative state. In fact, teams...
How are we going to hear an 8 hertz signal here?
Well, I just brought a little medicine bag with a couple of biofeedback instruments, and if we don't have any volunteers for heads, we'll put a signal generator into it, and we'll let the audience hear what their own brainwaves would sound like in altered states.
I don't think this radio station will broadcast 8 hertz, will it?
We'll hear a modulated tone. We use a carrier tone at around 2 kilohertz, and then we modulate that with the brainwave itself. So what the audience will hear will be a frequency modulated or a voltage controlled oscillator that we can use to simulate the various brain states.
Okay. So we're going to hear something that you probably never heard before. We're going to hear your consciousness. Or whose consciousness is going to hear mine?
Well, we'll.
You can tap it onto me. You know, it'll probably be very jumbled.
You're looking pretty good, Bill. Where'd you get that tan?
I got that tan in my backyard. Is where I got that. It was a great day for doing that today. So, well, go ahead. You know, I wanted to stop you on that. The consciousness thing.
Well,
is always curious to me.
I became so fascinated with EEG biofeedback in 1969 that I tried to get on board as a volunteer. There were only about four places in the country at that time that had the apparatus for volitional control of internal states. And that one of the encephalographic labs was at the Naval Electronics Lab in San Diego. Another one was Barbara Brown's group out at the VA Sepulveda. Then there was Langley Porter, but there was about a three-year waiting list. So I built my own EEG system, and I was the most popular kid on the block. We were training all of our friends to control their brain waves, and we gave away about a dozen of these things for Christmas in 1969, and somebody said, why don't you sell them? And that was the beginning of the Alphametrics Company. And since that time, we have built, many, many, many ethical biofeedback devices that have found their way into hospitals and schools and clinics and psychologists' offices. And that leads us to another fascinating story. I've always been interested in paranormal, people with remarkable talents, healers, dowsers, magicians, radionics operators, people who could actually cause consciousness alteration in others, or who could apparently access information beyond their own, let's say, limited biosphere.
Well, you know, it's very easy for people just to kind of kiss that off as a lot of snake oil. But you and I both know that there are people that literally do it.
Right. So yeah. I was in a marvelous position to make actual brain wave chart recordings of people around the world at this time, from about early 1970 until 73. I found myself lecturing at SMU and Villanova and UCLA and USC on biofeedback. And when I was traveling, we could access people who had remarkable talents, because I had one foot on each banana peel. At that time, I was an establishment scientist. Today, I'm a kook. But my interest...
I don't think we can really call you a kook. But...
Well, I'm being humble.
Let's just call it avant-garde. Okay.
So what I did, when I was in Pennsylvania, for example, I'd find the Hexenmeister out in Lancaster County who would be working in his hat in the barn between midnight and dawn, making Hexen seagulls to bless the barns, and I'd wire up his brain and make recordings. I wired up charismatic faith healers. I wired up dowsers. I wired up a real genuine Polynesian kahuna, Morna Simeona, bloodline Polynesian kahuna, not a pretender. And the amazing thing is that all of these people, when they were in their working state, their altered consciousness, were showing a particular signature, and that happened to be about 7.8 hertz, right at the alpha
right
theta border.
Right there at the Earth frequency, almost.
So we devised ways to induce this state. First, we used photic stimulus, flashing lights at this precise frequency, and we found that it would work for a few people. We tried audio stimulus, evoke potential, click stimulus. I guess you've all heard Bob Monroe.
Mm-hmm.
And then we found that the magnetic fields, if they were produced in a particular way, and I brought one of the little boxes along tonight to show you what we were doing, was far more effective than any of these other things combined.
The magnetic fields did it.
The magnetic fields would reach all parts of the brain, both hemispheres, simultaneously. Mm-hmm. And the problem with trying to induce an artificial state, or rather a normal state, with artificial means using light, was that the optic nerve transmitted the signal at different time delay times. The left eye would, the signal would reach the right occipital cortex at, say, X amount of delay. The left eye at X plus or minus some little error signal.
That's so part of the stereo vision that we have. It has to do it that way.
Yes, it is.
An alternating image technology.
And it's now known that a person with dyslexia reverses some characters, some figures, some letters, because the optical nerves just are not carrying the signal at the same time. So we got away from using the optic nerve, using the ears, went directly to the magnetic fields, and that was Pandora's box. All of a sudden, the government became interested in what I was doing, and I had many trips to Washington and did briefings. We did the classic experiment with Andrea Puharich in his Faraday cage, where I guess everyone who's listened to the show knows what happened. We put subjects inside of the Faraday cage.
Let me stop you for just a second, because you always get our attention whenever you say Washington is attentive, because we always know that usually means trouble. I'm Bill Jenkins. It's Open Mind, and with me tonight is Dr. Bob Beck. And we want to stretch your mind a bit, so stay in there. Deals with the Well, the unknown. The different things that are going on. Well, you don't hear about it, you don't read about it, but it is. You just went to Washington, and they would know about it in Washington. What is their interest in Washington, by the way?
Believe it or not, they believe that the magnetic entrainment is the simplest way for mass crowd control, for rescuing hostages. Strangely enough,
it bothers me, Bob, when Washington is interested in mass crowd control.
It bothers
using
me a great deal.
Magnetically or electronically. Because I may be a part of the crowd, and I am not at all interested in wanting to think the way some bureaucrat in Washington thinks I should think.
I agree.
Is that up?
Are they
working on that?
They've been working on this for at least 6 years.
Who's working on it?
I don't think it would be polite to mention too many names.
Go right ahead, if you want to. I mean, don't put yourself in trouble.
Well, let's pass the buck here. I guess many of the readers, listeners, saw the January Omni magazine with the lead article on the magnetic fields that control your moods, control your life.
They should. I've read that.
I spent 4.5 hours with Kathleen on the telephone when she was writing this article, and I requested that she did not use my name in it. But in the article, the work of Dr. Ross Ady out here in California at the Pettus Veterans Memorial Hospital at Loma Linda was noted, and Dr. Jose Delgado, who left the University of New Mexico, probably because his work got to be very controversial and is now in Madrid, Spain. And these people who are government-funded, who are thoroughly up on the technology, are totally convinced that this is the new direction for both medicine, consciousness, alteration of behavior, etc.
Well, everything is a two-edged sword. Now, you can take this science, which certainly can alter your behavior patterns and alter the way you think, particularly if you're in a mental hospital or you're criminally in... We can change those people. I mean, it's
right.
Just pure science that can be done.
Right.
But like a hammer. You know, we wouldn't have civilization without a hammer. But a hammer can also be a lethal weapon. Now we're dealing with a science that gives a bureaucrat an opportunity to alter my brain waves, and there is nothing I can do about it. And I don't want it.
Bill, I think it's gone a little beyond that. We made an absolutely alarming discovery several months ago that certain commercial establishments are already using this technology.
The subliminals?
No. The subliminals have been around for a number of years. The listeners probably know that behind the music in the supermarket, some supermarkets, you are given the suggestion that you won't shoplift, you won't steal. This is rather old technology.
That's old technology.
But the frightening thing is that we think we discovered a restaurant that is using magnetic fields to give a person sort of an agitation, like an adrenaline response, when the person has the fright or flight reaction. He will eat faster. When he eats faster, they clear the tables faster, and they can run quite a few more people through that restaurant during one shift than they could normally. And I was amazed that some of this mood control technology had filtered down to the commercial sector this rapidly. We had thought that there would perhaps be, a 4 or 5 year lag time. But there's enough information in the open scientific literature that undoubtedly some sharp entrepreneurs have picked up on this. The positive correlates here would be to mood condition conference rooms, meeting rooms, engineering offices to increase productivity and reduce stress. But apparently, like almost every other discovery, the first reductions to practice for this technology are being used against us, not for our best interest.
On the negative side or on the greed side. For
right.
Always have to have the greed side taken care of first.
Yes.
And I want to get back to Washington doing this. Why is Washington toying with the technology?
The story that I
have
heard...
That can turn me around any way I want to, or any way they want me to be.
We were terribly embarrassed during the Iranian crisis, where a number of our people were taken hostage. And at that time, I was quite close with a number of people in the field that were working in this area. Their rationale was that had we had another few minutes, our people in the embassy in Iran would have had time to destroy some documents, at least to fortify what they were doing, and we wouldn't have been nearly as embarrassed. And had the Marines there started shooting, we would have been in another desperate political situation. But had the, let's say, invading forces, the Muslims, been slowed down a little bit, we could have accomplished the purpose and no one would have known how. Now, that is the reason that they gave me in Washington for wanting to exploit some of the technology that I had personally developed and I had sort of kept out of that sector.
All right, well, let's get back to that technology in the hands of government in just a moment. I'm Bill Jenkins. It's Open Mind.
Science
that if you put a device or a scientific principle in operation with enough energy, it can alter the way you think and the way you feel and your emotions and everything else. It's just pure, raw science. Now we find out that the government knows all about this. And I don't know where you're coming from, but I'll tell you where I'm coming from. I do not want a bureaucrat working on a machine that is going to tell me how I am going to think. I see this as an absolute, enormous problem of unspeakable proportions, Robert.
A few years ago, in our little family group that knew about this and was experimenting with it and doing it, unfortunately, illegally with human subjects, we posited the Kalin, which is worse, for them to know about it and believe it, or for them not to know about it and disbelieve it. And it's difficult to tell. When the government gets involved in these things, usually it's for their own purposes and not for the benefit of the citizenry. I guess about a year and a half ago, June, many of you, many of the listeners, saw the newspaper feature story of Dr. Ross Ady and the LIDA, which was a little box that had been brought from the Soviet Union about 30 years ago.
Long time ago.
And he had demonstrated this for an agency meeting, I believe it was the CIA in Washington, and had told this auditorium full of highly placed persons with very high classifications, "I can put the majority of you in this room to sleep in a matter of minutes when I turn this on, with an invisible, tasteless, odorless emanation in the electromagnetic spectrum." And some anecdotal information about this LIDA or LIDA device, which has been published in the paper, was that when this device was floating around in the Pentagon, one of our GIs came through, saw the thing on the desk, and said, "My God, where did you get that?" And they told him that it had been acquired legally from the Soviet Union. He said, "That is the device that was used in the brainwashing in the Korean conflict." Now, that was 1950, 1951. Now, that was 35 years ago. Think how far the Soviets are probably advanced in this field today.
Mm-hmm.
We feel that the future of medicine consciousness does lie in the electromagnetic spectrum, not in the pharmaceutical, not in the chemical domain.
Well, I think that there's no doubt about it, Bob, within the next decade, that hospitals are going to be relegated to places where you fix bones.
Right.
And, you know, have wounds sewed up. And that's it. The rest of it will probably be done at home, and it will be done electromagnetically and magnetically.
I've had the extreme good fortune to meet a number of the people and attend conferences with them who are pioneering this area. Dr. Robert O. Becker, who was mentioned for a Nobel Prize several years ago for his work in electromagnetic medicine. But unfortunately, like some of us, he was a little bit too outspoken, and he was horizontally arabesqued from his position as orthopedic surgeon.
Mm-hmm.
He has an excellent book out now that I can highly recommend to anyone interested in New Age health. It's called The Body Electric, and the author is Robert O. Becker, B-E-C-K-E-R, M-D. And he goes into this in great detail. I bought my copy at the Bodhi Tree Bookstore, and if there are any around, we highly recommend this as a...
Well, it's certainly an open mind recommended book, The Body Electric. And that was just the forerunner of what is actually happening right now.
Right.
You know, I'm involved in, I'm very privileged, let's put it to say, a lot of experimentation that's going on in this particular field.
Right.
And what we see is a phenomenon. It defies description what electromagnetics and health can do, and magnetics and health can do, and bending space-time and
right.
how that can affect your entire, your body makeup. I'm seeing it every day, and it's always kind of mind-blowing what's happening out there.
Last October, I was the guest of the Medtronic folk in Minneapolis, and I was invited to spend a day with Dr. Otto Schmidt, who's professor of engineering, of course, at the university. And Schmidt is the inventor of the Schmidt trigger, the grand old man of electronics, and his brother, Francis O. Schmidt, is dean of neurobiology at MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, of course. And Otto was extremely excited that they had proved mathematically that Robert O. Becker is correct, that you can rejuvenate even nerve and brain tissue with electromagnetic input and mm-hmm. signals. And the main problem here was not one of science, not one of medicine, but one of politics.
Mm-hmm.
If you start restoring some of these older people, bringing them back to full mental ability, what's going to happen to Social Security? What will happen to the pension funds, the insurance policies, if they continue to live and become healthy and active?
Isn't that terrible?
And this was the main problem. Not that it couldn't be done, but what will change ergonomically in the sociological patterns, the political patterns? This was their main concern.
Isn't that sad that that becomes a great concern? I think that there has been a lot of stifling of research in this particular field by another industry, which is a multi-billion dollar industry, that is taking care of your health with chemicals and knives.
Exactly.
And they do not want you to be able to do it at home with an electronic device.
There is simply no profit in it.
And hopefully, there's nothing more powerful than an aroused American public. They're more powerful than the chemical companies and are more powerful than the AMA. They actually are more powerful than the government and the bankers if they're aroused about this. The technology is here. We can do it right now, but there are a lot of people that like the status quo, whether we're talking about the way medicine is run or we're talking about free energy, and you and I both know that free energy is here. The ramifications of that, of how that's going to affect somebody's economic bailiwick, get to be staggering. And people involved on the other side get to be violent, in fact. And how
all
sad
true.
It is.
All true.
They really don't give a damn about you and me. They just want our money.
Protect the profit.
That's it. Well, go ahead.
We
took a little side trip there.
Now, one of the most amazing things that I had encountered in many, many years was that if these people who were showing about a 7.8 hertz signature in their brain waves when they were in their working state, whether it was clairvoyance or healing or remote viewing or dowsing or operating a radionics magic black box. And by the way, we'll be showing slides of some of these next weekend at the Marriott.
Oh, do that.
Demonstrating some of this.
I know the people have loved to come to your lectures, and I want you to tell them where it is.
Well, believe it or not, Paul Andrews has conned me one more time into giving a seminar, and you have no idea how I hate these things, because it takes hundreds of hours of preparation to get all of the instruments and materials together so the people aren't bored. But we're doing a number on Saturday, April the 6th, starting at 10 a.m. at the L.A. Airport Marriott Hotel. And for reservations, last time we had to turn some people away. You might want to call Paul at area code 213-393-9405. And what we'd planned on doing down there is presenting a very elaborate film strip showing the beginnings of the magic black box healing systems from the times of Albert Abrams through Ruth Drown and Galen Hieronymus and Peter mm-hmm. Kelly, showing some of the electromagnetic tools that are being used now in the advanced thinking, the holistic health field. Unfortunately, a number of these devices are highly illegal.
In the United States.
In the United States. They're not in Great Britain. They're not illegal in other countries.
They're used over in the more healthy countries because they have them.
So all we're going to do is show slides of them, and if people want to build their own, we'll be able to provide them with absolutely authentic, absolutely accurate, totally debugged, working schematic diagrams so that anyone can build his own.
Build your own health.
Don't tell me about it, because I'm not supposed to talk about these, or at least...
But you're not selling it to them, so...
We're not selling them a thing. We're just giving them the information, saving them the time that they would take in researching this. That number, again, is 393-9405, and if you lose it, is it listed as Synergy Health Systems in the Santa Monica area? S-Y-N-E-R-G-Y. We should have a lot of fun. We're going to demonstrate the Aurora Tone of Cecil Stokes, one of the early color healing devices that was funded by the Crosby brothers, Bing Crosby and Larry Crosby Foundation.
Right.
Demonstrate the mandalascope. Show slides of the Lakowski multiple wave oscillator that was the first device that generated scalar waves for curing cancer, arthritis, and what have you.
And that's the way it's going to be cured.
And these things are highly illegal, but we hope that a lot of people build them. When I first published on this a number of years ago, about 100 people went out.
Whenever you say illegal, by that you mean it hasn't been, the Swami has not been put upon it by the bureaucrats.
No, I mean that John Minor, the district attorney, and John Minor went around to the offices of licensed physicians, medical doctors, chiropractors, with axes, took these things out into the streets in 1962 and smashed them up, put some of the operators in jail, like Dr. Ruth Drown.
Where was John Minor, the district attorney?
John Minor was working with the FDA, and this was Los Angeles County, and it was 1962 that the push came, and a number of these people were actually jailed. Their civil liberties were taken away from them for using these devices. I had quite a collection of them at one time, and
the devices ever hurt anybody?
Not that I know of.
Did they cure anybody?
Well, according to the history of these things, they cured a number of incurable people.
Well, now, what is the great crime that was committed?
They were not approved by the Food and Drug Administration. They were not approved by the majority of thinkers. The establishment thought that they were witchcraft. Radionics is an established, practiced art in Great Britain.
Mm-hmm.
Many of the doctors use it. A number of doctors that I know use these things, but they keep them locked away in their attics. And
They just simply want to cure the people to help with the bureaucrats. Is that it?
I know dozens of doctors here in Los Angeles who use this as their primary diagnostic means. And in fact, they even diagnose for other doctors in the area with tricky cases. And my advice would be simply build your own. We'll show people how to do that, if they're interested in it, but we certainly can't demonstrate the actual boxes in that area because they are contraband. By the way, they're now legal in the state of Nevada. The Nevada Clinic of Preventive Medicine is using this type of apparatus, and fortunately they were powerful enough there, the Latter-day Saint type people, to shove this through the legislature a few years ago. So there's one state in the United States that does use this type of healing, and we're delighted to see that.
Well, you know, to give you an idea of how the bureaucrats operate, it doesn't relate, but it does relate in a way. I'm thinking of the case of our friend Joe Newman, who has a device that is a free energy device. It works. He can't get a patent. The patent office has agreed that it works. They know that it produces more energy than it... They have gone through everything... And he is having to go to court.
I know.
Been in court. And the master came in and said, it works. But the bureaucrats have such a mindset that they say, we're not going to give you a patent because obviously
that's perpetual.
It doesn't work. Because I, the bureaucrat, have spoken. And God bless Joe Newman. And I hope he breaks down that bureaucratic wall.
Tom Bearden sent me a videotape of that device, and we've shown it to a number of meetings around Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. It's a fascinating thing. He's still hung up. They've still refused to
budge. I think they're in court now, or in the process of it for the second time. But the last time through, the judge says, I'm no physicist, bring in a master. And a master is a legal term, somebody who is a physicist who knows.
Right.
And... the master says, I can't tell you the principle, but I can tell you that it works. And that's the bottom line. You don't need formulas. It works. Tell that to the bureaucrats in the patent office. Of course, Commissioner Duncan has already been accused by a federal judge in Texas of being an incompetent, but he's the one who is stopping him. How he can stay there, I don't know, but it works. But the people will win out, and we certainly support Joe Newman and all his work. But this happens in many areas of science that are new and they're advanced, and they are not in the in the physics books. And we're seeing so much science now that's just not in the physics books. And if it's not in the physics books, of course, it didn't happen, because the physics books were evidently given to us on a mountain by God on stone tablets somewhere. But all of that is being shoved aside, and it's a very hard time for a lot of these people to realize these things. Maybe this will begin to open, because medicine's future does lie in magnetics and electromagnetics, doesn't it?
Oh, it absolutely does. We were hoisted by the Carnegie study about the turn of the century, which incidentally seems to have been funded by the pharmaceutical houses, and said there's nothing to this. And like Harvey...
Naturally, they would say that.
Circulation of blood, they would rather be right with the authorities than wrong with the truth.
Well, you know, the chemical companies do an awful lot for us. They pollute our water, they pollute our atmosphere, and...
they've done a lot of good,
and
their time
is
gone. Their time is gone.
But their time is over, but they're not giving up the fight. They're extremely wealthy, and they have control of all of the processes of Washington and this great bureaucratic government that we have put together. It's Open Mind tonight. I'm talking to Dr. Robert Beck about some things that may open your mind to the new world of science that is out there, a science that you perhaps don't read about too much in the newspaper, hear about on the radio, but you'll hear about it here, and I want you to hear more. We've got till midnight, so you stay with. Involved in the, I guess we would call it the vanguard, or the cutting edge of science. And he's one of a cadre of scientists around the world that get out there and give us the new things to think about, and certainly... when there are new things and there are things that are beyond our imagination, that has a two-edged sword. We have gone about 50 minutes without giving you a chance to talk to some of the audience, which I know wants to talk to you. We have a lot of things to talk about between now and midnight, but I do want to bring them in, and I think Craig is on the line. Craig, welcome aboard.
Good evening, Bill.
Uh-huh.
I'd like to ask Dr. Beck some more about the health and healing aspects of his work.
He's right here.
Good evening, Dr. Beck.
Well, months, Craig.
Yeah. Will you be possibly be able to set up any office hours for some of us that need a little feedback, that are trying to build your circuits and schematics and all this at a future date?
Oh, I could probably do this if it's all for everyone at the same time. I'd be delighted to do this.
Yeah.
In fact, our number, I'm shuffling this off on Paul Andrews, is area code 213-393-9405.
Mm-hmm.
And if enough people have a little technical expertise, of course. We don't want to start at ground zero. We'd be just delighted to sort of hold your hand and see if there are any points that we missed in the schematics.
That would be terrific. If you pop in and out of the office once in a while, we could call you at that location. Or
some of the things we plan, seminar next Saturday on the 6th, are schematics for the multiple wave oscillator.
Mm-hmm.
And schematics for negative ion generators, and a device which actually measures the ions.
Mm.
You know, a lot of people get sick around the Xerox machines. Some of my friends can't stand to be in the same room with them, and the reason for that is that they have a high voltage positive, direct current, an anode supply that is sucking up all the negative ions and putting out a lot of positive ones, and the positive ones make the people sick.
Sounds like a fluorescent light to me.
And I've got one of the little boxes right here. Too bad it isn't television, but it's about twice the size of a cigarette pack that actually measures the ions in any environment and tells you go, no go, they're plus, they're minus, how many. And we'll pass out a schematic for this if we get them printed up in time. Otherwise, we'll mail them to you. That's one of the things you can build. And we're also giving out the circuits for the extreme low-frequency detectors and the extreme low-frequency generators, so you can sort of mood condition your own biosphere. And, yeah, we'd be just delighted to work with anyone who has a sincere interest in this.
That's great. I noticed also on these Xerox machines, they're blowing out all that solvent into the room that evaporates from the toner, and you're breathing all those toxic fumes like pitch paint thinner type of stuff.
Right, and that's not helping you a bit.
Right.
You guys want to hang on just a minute, because I've got to blow out some of my own toner here for just a moment, okay? I'm Bill Jenkins. It's Open Mind. Bill Jenkins, and we're talking to Dr. Bob Beck, and we're talking about your mind and the things that science is doing to it and can do to it and will do to it. So you'll need an open mind to find out how yours is being twisted just a little bit. So stay with. We're 6 minutes past the 10 o'clock mark on this Saturday night, Bob. And we were talking to Craig. Craig, do you want to go ahead and wrap it up there?
Yeah.
Still there, buddy?
Yep. And on the negative ion generators here a little more, can't you get radiation burns from the high-speed beta particle electrons that are shooting off there, just like fallout or radiation?
No.
And also, I use one of your bug detectors, and it produces all kinds of electrical interference from the circuitry, and I think that negates any beneficial effects from the ions. And I unplugged the darn thing. It interferes with the radio and everything.
Well, Craig, like everything else in life, there are good ones and there are bad ones.